You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Good morning, everyone. I've got a question to ask.
Do you want to be a ninja?
Taryn and Lita will tell you how.
They can't do it themselves because they're not that strong.
This is the American Ninja Warrior Song.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior Rehappa podcast. We are back, and I am your host, Taryn Armstrong. With me today, of course, is Lita. How you doing, Lita?
I'm good. New ninja, new 3-hour specials preceding it. We're ready to go. We're back to something where we don't have to analyze everybody's strategy and how terribly they're playing. Thank God.
Yes. It's season 11 of American Ninja Warrior. And we've got some changes this season that we need to talk about. Are you ready for these changes?
Oh, my God. Are twists going to ruin American Ninja Warrior?
I don't know. We'll have to find out.
But they also got rid of some changes. Now women are just people again.
Well, it seemed like that in the episode, but I've read not the case.
What? Okay. We'll get into all of this.
Yeah.
First of all, how are you? We've been away from the American Ninja Warrior podcast for like a year.
It's true. I'm doing well. We just got off of a Big Brother Canada season. I took a trip to Toronto. That was fun. And still, you know, training to go on American Ninja Warrior 15.
That's specific.
You know.
Why 15? Just a reasonable goal.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I'm
go
training
on
to
American Ninja Warrior 11. Can't do that.
Not with that attitude.
I mean, I guess so, but still.
Yeah. Well, I'm still training to not do that, but to be the best ninja podcaster of all time.
I don't know. I don't know if you can make that.
You're so unsupportive.
Well, look, in order to do that, you gotta get through me.
Okay, but when you're actually on the show, you probably won't be able to also podcast about it.
Why not?
I don't know.
I'm not trapped in a house.
You might spoil things by accident.
Like that time that we went to the Vegas finals and knew the entire outcome of the whole season and I spoiled everything by accident.
Yeah, you might have. I don't know. I haven't gone back and listened to the tapes. I wouldn't notice if you spoiled it. None of our listeners said anything, but they just might be too polite.
Nah, listeners being polite.
Hey, our listeners are very polite. I was very excited to get at least 2 tweets saying that they were excited for the podcast to come back.
It's true. There were like 2. Or 3.
Like at least 2. Maximum 3, but definitely 2.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they were all from the same person, but that's fine.
I said tweets, not individuals.
Well, how have you been? How's been your time?
How's been my time?
Yes.
My time's been good. It wouldn't be a new American Ninja Warrior season if I didn't have a different job than the last time that I was podcasting. So I am now bartending full time as well as working at a distillery. And I am also newly 24, and Taryn did not forget.
I didn't.
And I'm just going to say that for the record. He was cutting it close. It was 8:30 p.m. and I was starting to wonder.
gotta leave you in suspense.
I know. I saw a new message from Taryn and I thought, What if this is just him asking about the podcast time?
I should have done that.
I literally said to Matt Gagan, who was with me, I said, if Taryn was funny, this message would say, what time do you want to record next week? So I would absolutely lose my mind.
That would have been good.
There's always next year.
Yeah.
Now I'm expecting it.
Yeah. We'll figure something out. But all right, so we're here. Lita's birthday has come and gone, and it's time for American Ninja Warrior season 11. And as I mentioned, there are some changes here to the season. So let's talk about the changes here real quick. First of all, we have a new sideline reporter. Christine is out.
Yes. And this woman, what is her name?
Zuri Hall.
Zuri Hall. She used to host the Challenge reunions.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I just watched a Challenge reunion. So
yeah, that one was not hosted by Zuri. Wasn't that one hosted by Lolo Jones?
Lolo Jones was there. I don't know if I would say she hosted it. She maybe said a couple of things.
She was present. Yeah.
And then there was some other dude that was really annoying.
Yeah, so Zuri Hall used to host the Challenge reunion. So she's been in the reality show making people talk game for a little bit.
Man, so I guess, you know, Natalie goes over, Ninja Natalie, to the Challenge, and now we're getting hosts from the Challenge.
Yeah, they made a trade.
Challenge crossover.
Do you know, is Ninja Natalie competing on the season, or is she a full-time challenger now?
I'm sure she's competing still. I don't think that MTV precludes you from competing in Ninja Warrior. She was in the sidelines in LA.
Oh, nice. I didn't see her. Because usually she competes in LA, I think. That's just why I was asking. Maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? Anyway, new sideline reporter. I don't miss Christine.
Yeah. I thought she was fun. I like Zuri so far. You know, there's not like there's a lot that you can do as a sideline reporter to stand out. But I thought she was fine.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's not much you can do for us to make us say like, oh my God, wow, she's so good at this. But there's a lot you can do to make us complain about you.
Yes.
And I have no complaints.
Yes, I agree. And really, like, I think we've spent more time talking about Zuri than they did already.
Oh, definitely.
Like, hey, we've got a new reporter, Zuri Hall. Hi,
here
Zuri. Hey, yeah. We've got a course here.
Yeah. I also still want this job, so I'm always going to be a little bitter.
Yeah.
I've done absolutely nothing to like make this happen in my life, but I just want them to listen to the podcast and say, hey, she should be on the show.
Yeah. I mean, why won't they just reach out and offer you the job? I don't understand.
I don't know. I would be really good at this. I'm very good at saying, hey, you fell. What happened?
Yeah. It seems like you're about to cry. How does that make you feel?
What kind of tears are these?
So we've got Zuri as the new sideline reporter. We also have a change to the qualifier format here, that the two fastest finishers of the night are going to end up competing on the Power Tower.
Don't Brandon Mears and Dan Palese have some trademark issues with this?
That's exactly what I said. How much did they have to pay the Towers of Power?
Maybe they were originally called the Towers of Power and they said, no, that's copyright infringement. You have to call it the Power Tower.
Also, how much are the Towers of Power hoping that the two of them will be the two fastest times so that they can both compete? The Towers of Power compete on the Power Tower for the thing.
For the thing.
The skip pass or whatever.
I think this could end up being the downfall of the Towers of Power's entire season because they're going to be so hyped to compete on the Power Tower that they're going to go too fast.
Yeah. And they've also, I don't think they've ever both completed. It's always one or the other.
Yeah, that's true. What do you think of this? I don't mind it.
Okay, so what happens is, two fastest times, they compete on the Power Tower. It's a 40-foot thing where they race up these big steps and then they go across like a pole and then slide down, run across a little balance beamy thing, climb back up and then swing across to the buzzer. And that's the whole thing. They're competing side by side, ninja versus ninja style. And the person that ends up completing this the fastest that rings in first with the buzzer is going to get, I think they called it a skip pass.
Yeah, it's like a fast forward, but they can't call it that.
Right. So basically what this allows them to do is advance immediately, you know, go right past, you know, go or whatever. What's the thing in Monopoly?
I mean, yeah, you go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. But yes, I think this is the opposite.
They go directly to jail, a.k.a. Vegas.
Salvadoriam. Yeah, a.k.a. And Vegas.
My first thought hearing this was, oh, that's kind of cool. Wait a minute. That means what? They're not competing in city finals? That's super lame. I want to see them. That's all the best ninjas are going to get this skip pass, and then we won't see them in city finals. They'll just go straight to Vegas. That's not what I want to see. I want to see more of the best athletes.
Okay.
Before you respond to that, because okay. It's not true.
Oh, okay. I'm still under that impression. So, okay.
That is actually not the case. They can, if they choose to, still compete in the city finals. But it doesn't matter what ends up happening in the city finals. They still will get to go to Vegas. And very importantly, there's a huge incentive to compete in the city finals because there is an additional twist in the city finals with the Power Tower. This is a power tower 2.0 in the city finals.
I missed literally all of this.
They didn't explain this in the episode. This is from the wonderful Nikki Lee on American Ninja Warrior Nation.
Okay, thank God. I was like, was I asleep? How did I miss this?
So what happens is if you have the skip pass, then you can just go for broke in city finals and it doesn't matter. And you can try to go for the best time and hope that you can then compete in the city finals power tower, which is a slightly different power tower. It's a different format or not different format. It's a different, slightly different obstacle kind of setup, but it's still a big tower. And the two fastest times in the city finals will compete for a safety pass. What happens if you win the safety pass is that in Vegas, in stage one or stage two, you get a do-over.
Ooh.
Yes.
Okay. So I don't mind this at all.
I was conflicted at first. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure because, you know, part of what makes Ninja Warrior so great, I think, is just like how suddenly it can all crumble.
Yes. However, this pass is incredibly difficult to get,
yes.
Right? Like, it's really earned. It's not finding a hidden immunity idol. It's being the fastest twice mm-hmm. and choosing to go for it in the city finals. Like, it's there's a lot that has to be earned, and there's, like, no luck involved. So I feel like if anybody deserves a do-over, it's the person who can be the fastest, in the top two fastest, and then beat the other person twice.
Yes. And that's kind of what I came to is like, I have been like my major complaints about American Ninja Warrior have always been that, the qualifying episodes, it's like a lot of build up. They're 2 hours always. There's not a lot of point to them other than just mm-hmm. like getting to see the athletes. And then we finally get to Vegas and it seems it ends so quickly. Whereas like the show that I grew up watching and loving, the Sasuke from Japan, they do that two times a year at Mount Midoriyama. And so it's more okay when somebody fails in the first obstacle, when Joe Morovsky fails at the double dipper. It's like, that's all right. 6 months later, we'll get to see him again.
Right.
Not the case with American Ninja Warrior. It's like he just went through all of that early stuff and then just like that, we're out and we barely get to see stage three. And it was kind of a disappointing final last year. I think that's something that we talked about. So introducing this safety pass, I kind of like it. I think it adds a lot to the qualifying rounds where we now get the skip pass and the safety pass and the power tower and races that are exciting. And there's more strategy involved in going for the fastest time or going for money, which we'll talk about in just a second. Right. There's more to it. There's more to like be invested in and to care about with these qualifying rounds that I enjoy. And then also when we get to Vegas, if something crazy happens, you know, Joe Morovsky fails at the double dipper or, the real life ninja ends up screwing up at the what are they called? The wing nuts.
Yeah.
You know, even like, cause he overshot them.
Right.
Like we get to see another go at that. And I like that. I do like that. I do think that, you know, there might be a little bit of an asterisk if somebody ends up winning. Having a do-over, Mm-hmm. But whatever.
That's yeah, fine. I mean, yes, and that is exactly the thing. American Ninja Warrior is the kind of show that you can say, but whatever. Like, yeah. I don't think with a twist like this, we are not going to be at the finale saying, the integrity of American Ninja Warrior, oh my God, I can't believe it. Like, nobody is going to win the show that doesn't deserve to, even if they get a second chance on stage one or whatever. Like, if you can finish stage three and, like, can still do all of this, like, we're not going to be mad at you winning American Ninja Warrior, especially because it's not like you're winning over somebody else, right? Like, two people, chances are not going to finish again, like we saw in season 7. Like, we want to see a winner. It's exciting to see a winner, and we haven't had one in a while. So I feel, and we've only had one ever, two ever. But I feel like this is not going to make us mad, especially now that even if two people do finish, right, they're both going to get the million. Is that what was decided after the Britain Caldera thing, or is that not official?
I believe so. Yes, I believe. Yeah. I mean, right. The last I heard, at least.
Right. So how could we possibly be mad if somebody wins with a do-over? You know?
Exactly. Like, I think that's important to note. Like, this is not one of the reasons I don't like twists on shows like Big Brother or Survivor, is because they mess with the game and they make it less exciting to watch.
Right.
And it screws over other people that are directly competing,
yes,
with those
totally unfairly
people that, yeah, are playing the game. That's not the case with American Ninja Warrior. They're not competing against each other,
right,
except for these passes themselves in the Power Tower.
Right.
But apart from that, like, it doesn't hurt anybody else for, mm-hmm, somebody to get to go twice. It only just allows people to go further, you know, individuals to go further after having earned that privilege. And I don't think it makes things less exciting. I think it makes things more exciting. And importantly, again, it's only for stage one and two, where,
yes,
often if you are capable of making it through, the only reason you would fail is because of a slight misstep, mm-hmm, screw up. So, you know, I feel like the only people that are really going to benefit from this a lot are the people that, you know, like a Joe Morofsky that screws up just like that. It's all over. No. He gets to go again because he's capable of it. The people who aren't capable of completing these stages, they're going to fail, and they're going to fail again. And that's fine.
Yeah. Completely. The only way that this gets into dangerous territory is if they do the same thing next year, but America gets to vote or something, you,
yeah,
know, like that, which they can't do because it's all filmed too far in advance. You,
yeah,
know, like, one thing that I love, we all know that I love talent competitions, like reality competitions. I love So You Think You Can Dance, Dancing with the Stars, American Idol, all that. And one of the reasons that I love it is because it's pure talent. And you can't really have, like, a wrong winner. Like, yeah, America votes wrong, but that's the premise of the game. There's no way to mess it up with a twist because it's just a talent contest or it's just a popularity contest, and that's all there is. And so American Ninja Warrior is like that, where it is such pure talent that even introducing twists like that, you can't see somebody win and say that person didn't deserve to.
Yes. So I'm liking this.
Yeah,
I'm optimistic about this season, and honestly, I am a lot more excited about watching the qualifying rounds, mm-hmm, than before. I feel more invested. I feel more like before watching the qualifying rounds was just like, well, I hope something doesn't go wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
But now it's like, oh, you know, who's going to get the pass? And then also another new added part of this, the Mega Wall is back.
Mm-hmm.
The Mega Wall is back with some slight changes. So it's still the same height, but now how the Mega Wall works, how it worked last season is you could attempt the Mega Wall once, and if you failed, then you'd have one shot to get up the regular wall.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to make a decision. You either go with the Mega Wall or you go with the regular warped wall, and you're stuck with whatever wall you choose.
Right.
If you go with the Mega Wall, you have three shots to get up it. If you get up on your first try, you get $10,000. If you get up on your second try, you get $5,000. If you get up on your third try, you get $2,500. If you don't get up all three tries, you don't complete the course. That's,
yeah,
it.
Yeah. And the other part of this is that by even attempting the Mega Wall, pretty much you're giving up your chance to do the tower thing,
unless you, right, get up on your first try.
Yeah, but it's just so much less likely, and I think it's tough because then there's a huge advantage to going at the end, right? Because you,
oh, yeah,
are gonna know if you're gonna be in those top two spots to compete for the power thing. So at that point, if you're going to be in the top two spots, you should just go for the regular wall because that pass is going to be more valuable than the $10,000, presumably, to most of these ninjas. So there is an advantage to going at the end, which is what I don't really like about it. But other than that, I'm fine with this. This is not going to radically change the outcome of anybody's game. Because if you're making it to the warped wall and choosing to go for it, presumably you've already qualified.
Yes, most of the time, I would imagine so. And I feel like this the easy fix for advantage being, I mean, going last is always an advantage because you get to see a bunch of other people go on the course anyway. But I feel like just don't tell them the time that other people had.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like that's an easy solution, but I don't know if that's the case. I saw a timer, a clock on the course a couple of times. And I was very confused by it. We'll talk about it later. But it had a time in green at the top that was running.
Right.
And then it had a time in red below it. Like that was the next fastest time currently.
Right.
But the timer that was running did not match the timer on the screen that they were showing us. Like, this is how fast they're going right now.
Right.
Which, you know, okay, they do that sometimes. But also the time that they were showing as like, you know, it was like 2:03 or something. I didn't see anybody complete the course in that amount of time.
Right. Like, what was that number?
I don't know. I don't know what this was.
I don't know.
Yeah. And I don't think anybody completed the course in that amount of time. So I don't know what that time was. I don't know what any of those timers were, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. Oh, well, should we get into the runs?
All right, let's do it. Let's get in here. So we have a course here. We have, the shrinking steps are the new first obstacle. These are kind of similar to what we saw in the skill challenge. Should we talk about the all-star skill challenge?
We can. I finally finished it this morning after falling asleep twice during it. So that is my official review. I don't think it's necessarily the fault of the show. I just think like 3 hours is so long for anything.
Yeah, I liked the team challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Even though watching stage three was very fun. Especially the women and the final part.
Definitely,
it was pretty intense.
I found the diving contest so stupid. I could not care less about that.
Yeah, I thought that Sean Bryan was great.
Yeah, he has a personality. Who knew?
I mean, the impressions were fine. But I thought like his first one where he went on his legs.
Yeah,
that was easily the best one of any of them.
Oh, definitely.
And like, I thought the scoring system was not.
Cause it doesn't matter. There's no stakes.
They were just like, this gets a 10. And
yeah, it doesn't matter. It was so stupid. It was like something that was like hard for me to even like pay attention to. But yeah, I liked the team stuff. I liked the like side by side stuff. The agility one was fun. And I liked seeing women do cool things. Like you said, Megan Martin and Flex LeBrec on the third leg of stage three. And then also Barclay Stockett beating out some guys on the salmon ladder.
Yes, that was pretty cool. I think the agility one was probably the best one. I don't even know why they bothered with the wing nuts again, to be honest. Like, yeah. As soon as Drew Dreschel's not doing it, it's just like, okay.
Yeah. But Najee has become the legend of second place.
Yes.
He's Jin Ho. Wait, who actually won that? All I paid attention to is that Najee came
Adam
second.
Adam Rail.
Oh, Adam Rail. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. So yeah, that happened, and then I don't know. Was there another one?
There was like, yeah, there was the salmon ladder and the doorknob thing was also not that exciting.
That was weird with Jeff competing against
Jeff. He's just like, I'm good. Yeah. Like what they should have done was not even shown him and just been like, our medics have said that he can't compete, because it was so lame to watch Jeff Britton be like, yeah, my shoulder or whatever, my forearm kind of hurts and this is not worth it.
Yeah. So I'm just going to sit with this.
It's like, we all know that this is stupid, but when the ninjas are just like, yeah, this doesn't matter. Like it's hard to stay engaged.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was fine. It was fun watching Joe beat people in the agility one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that these need to be just the team thing and then maybe a couple of the skills things.
Yeah.
I do not need the weird diving contest. I don't need the doorknob race.
Well, what I found was on my DVR remote thing that the skip forward feature is almost always like perfectly timed to just skip the packages.
Wow.
So pretty much every time I just like skip forward and then boom, they're about to start their thing.
We saw Jake Murray eat that corn dog three times in the skills competition.
I wouldn't know. It was perfect. I actually really enjoyed the experience getting to just like skip ahead of those things.
Yeah, packages are so stupid when we already know who all these people are and yeah. There's no new developments. Just like, yep, Crazy Craver, he's still a weirdo. Like, nothing is new.
Mm-hmm.
If there's anything new going on in their lives, they're not going to show the package in the skills comp. They're going to show it in the actual show.
Yes. All right. So anyway, back to the LA qualifying. We have a new course here. First, with the shrinking steps. And what I was saying was this was similar to, in my opinion, the agility obstacle that we saw, where there it's basically like little knobs that get smaller as you go. Only a couple people failed here that I saw.
A lot of them were montaged.
Yeah, it doesn't seem super difficult. Then we get to walk the plank, which apparently took out nearly half the field. This is an obstacle where you have to, there's a big like board or plank that
some might say.
Yes. That as you walk, it's like a seesaw. As you walk up it, the other side is going to fall. And so you need to go up to the other side of it that's angled upward as quickly as you can so that you have enough, so that you're close enough to the bar to jump off, grab the bar, and then slide down the bar thing. It's like a half double dipper, like a regular dipper.
Yeah, a single dipper.
Yeah.
Do we have any pirate ninjas?
Probably.
Yeah, probably. Well, anyway, none of them competed on Walk the Plank, but Akbar would have had a field day with that.
Yeah. Then we have Spring Forward, which is basically like it's three bars that you swing across, but they are spring loaded. They dip and they bounce as you go on them. So the optimal strategy here was to go on the inside as much as possible so that you weren't bouncing around as much. But it really messes with your lacheting.
Much how actually springing forward messes with your sleep schedule, as you famously hate daylight savings.
Yeah. Then we had the Diamond Dash, which is just your typical agility obstacle here. You just run across a bunch of unstable things.
Great.
Diamond shaped.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Spin Hopper, which we've seen before, you hop up these different little bars that spin, and then you go across and you hop down. And then you have the Mega Wall and the Warped Wall, of course.
Yeah. What do you think?
It was
any major obstacle issues?
No, it was fine.
Yeah, me too. I like the new first one. I think it's the right level of difficulty.
Yeah. I never like it when like what I like about the first obstacle as opposed to some of the other ones is that in other obstacles, you'd often see people like jump like one at a time.
Right.
Like, jump and then jump mm-hmm. and then jump. And it's like, that's lame. I just want to see them go across it.
Right.
Yeah. And then this one kind of ensures that you do that because it wouldn't really make sense to go one at a time.
Right.
They're too small. So, yeah. It's fine. I said here, I expected a lot of people to finish the Mega Wall, even before I knew that you'd have three chances at it. I just, because last year it was a new thing and people mm-hmm. hadn't been able to practice on these big walls, but it's been an entire year. You know, you get $10,000 if you complete this thing. I expected a lot of people to have been practicing a lot on the Mega Wall or on similar Mega Walls and that the there would be a lot of Mega Wall finishes, but wasn't really the case.
I wonder if people took it for granted.
Yeah.
If like a Flip Rodriguez is like, nah, I can do that, so I'm not going to train on it.
I feel like he has done it before in All-Star Skills Challenge.
I have no doubt that he can do it. I just feel like maybe it wasn't his focus in training and that's what happened, or it was literally just his shoes. I don't know.
I mean, you know, let's be somewhat realistic here. Most of the field, not really in the mix to like finish the whole thing, right?
Right.
To win the $1 million.
Right.
If I am that field, I'm looking at like an easy 10K. I'm like, I'm practicing that mega wall.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, you have to think about access. Not all these people necessarily live near somewhere where they can reasonably practice that.
Yeah.
Especially a lot of the rookies. Like, you know, some of them do live in Wyoming, probably.
Well, why can't they just be like the Eskimo Ninja and just build their own things in the wilderness?
Because probably if they need that $10,000, they don't have the time, resources, or energy.
All right. So we start with Kevin Fish, 25-year-old U.S. Marine. He's the fittest Marine on the planet, says Matt. He won the something championship.
Yeah, damning indictment of the Marines based on this run.
Really, he smacks the back of his head on walk the plank on the dismount. He just like, phew.
Yeah, I felt bad for laughing.
Did you?
I like when people hit their heads on stuff.
He also slips up on the diamond dash. He almost flips forward. He like lands on his face and almost goes... like tumbles forward, but instead goes back into the water.
Yeah. Great name, though, Kevin Fish.
Yeah. Next up was Aubrey Wilcher, the 30-year-old yoga teacher who can crush a tomato in her shoulder blades.
Yeah. She also says that she's always been stretchy, which is a phrase that I've never heard before. Usually people who are very flexible describe themselves as bendy.
Mm.
Stretchy to me means like you can like stretch your limbs like
Stretch Armstrong.
Is that your cousin?
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
It's like an old, school, character slash doll.
I was going to say Elastigirl.
Yes. You should look up Stretch Armstrong.
Okay. Does he look like you?
No.
Oh, great. Does it come to the Armstrong family dinners with Neil and Lance? Oh God. I don't like this man. I find this upset. He kind of looks like you. You have the same hair.
When I was in cross country, my cross country coach used to call me Stretch.
Yeah, I really don't like anything about the way that this person looks. Why aren't his eyebrows and hair even remotely the same color? Is the implication that he dyes his hair?
He's been stretched too much. It's messed with the pigments.
I guess. Oh my. Not about this at all. Why did we start talking about this?
Because she's stretchy.
Oh, because she's stretchy. Yeah, that's not a word that people use to describe themselves.
Well, Akbar says she's a human pretzel. And think about it, when, you know, you're doing like pretzel dough, dough is stretchy. Mm-hmm.
I am not disagreeing with that. What I'm saying is that her body is not actually stretchy, I don't think.
You don't know that. I don't think you've ever tried to stretch her body.
You don't know what I've been doing with Aubrey. Is that her name?
Yes.
I fully just, if I miss somebody's name, I have stopped going back to write it down because I know that you'll write it down.
Yeah.
So if I mess up everybody's names, that's why.
She has 300,000 followers on Instagram.
Oh, I'm not one of them.
No, me neither. She hesitated on Walk the Plank, and you can't hesitate on Walk the Plank.
Yeah, flexibility really doesn't do too much for you in ninja. It helps, especially if you're small, but it's really not going to be a talent that's going to propel you to the end.
I mean, it can if you're Jamie Ron on stage 3 in the All-Star thing.
Yeah, like
that
I said,
was crazy.
Can't hurt, but it's not going to be your secret weapon.
I still don't know how he bent his leg that way on the peg thing.
Yeah. Well, Jamie Ron, Taryn, he can do a leg without a shoe.
He's a superhero.
Anything. Yeah, like Stretch Armstrong.
Exactly. Then we had Ben Udy, the 30-year-old researcher who calls himself Chad Flexington.
Okay.
Is exactly what I wrote.
What?
Literally, my next bullet point is okay.
I loved the introduction to him. Matt says, this is technically Ben Udy, which is how I want to introduce myself in all scenarios. Yeah, I'm technically Lita Brillman because he has this alter ego. But we already have a ninja who has claimed flex as her word.
But not Flexington,
I guess.
And that's the first name. Flex Lebrecht, Chad Flexington.
Is he from Lexington?
I think that maybe in the Ninja Warrior meta, he is like her father, her estranged father.
Is that your headcanon?
Yeah.
Enjoy your fan fiction.
Exactly.
Where is he from?
I don't know.
I think it would be good if he was from Lexington, Massachusetts.
I guess so.
Lexington and Concord.
Yeah. I will say, I was surprised by Chad Flexington.
Do we have to call him that?
I like how Matt and Akbar went through the same discussion.
I didn't hear that.
He seemed to know what he was doing. He was actually pretty good. He just accidentally spun the final bar on the spin hopper with his legs, and while he was trying to reset it, he ran out of grip strength. But up until that point, his form was pretty good. He seemed to really know what he was doing. And he is, I believe, going to qualify for the city finals. So we will see Chad Flexington again.
Yeah, he's also wearing a totally Lita neutral outfit because he has America stuff on, which is not good, but he also has a great mustache. So those two cancel out.
There you go. Then we get a montage, and the montages were a little strange in this episode because they did them in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. You mean like,
it wasn't always just, well, we were gone. We saw right. These three people, which they've been experimenting with over the last few seasons. But I feel like this season, it was particularly weird.
Yeah. A couple things about this montage. We have our first Shanana. Did you catch that?
Yes.
Okay. We've got our first
Duan.
Great. Also, the guy from Crash the Course got on. So your turn, Taryn.
That's why it's 15.
All of these people who cover American Ninja Warrior are getting on. Come on.
I'm getting there.
Okay. I'm just saying, step up your training.
Greg Freeman was a janitor who couldn't muscle his way past Walk the Plank.
That has nothing to do with being a janitor.
Duan was an ultimate frisbee champion who flipped on the second obstacle. Shanana!
Okay, I'm Weber so glad that we can reset our Shanana count.
Yeah.
One.
It's gonna get complicated real quick, let me tell you.
Oh no. Hopefully not in this episode.
In this episode.
Oh no, I missed it! Now I can't argue. I missed it. I tried to count every Shanana.
Then we get Seth Rogers, the 19-year-old college student. They call him Big Red.
It feels extremely forced, too. Like, yeah. Kevin Bull is in the confessional being like, the thing about Big Red is that he's a good ninja.
I was very pleased with Scott Wilson later on for making fun of all of the dumb nicknames.
Oh, 100%. Yes.
Big Red has been training since he was 14. And he's going to get some testimonials from Kevin Bull and Flip Rodriguez.
Yeah, big things for a rookie. He also, they call him Mr. Rogers, and this is his neighborhood. It's like, do they?
You call him Mr. Rogers because this is his neighborhood.
Yeah.
I don't think the Mr. Rogers is like, you can't hype people up with Mr. Rogers.
I mean, if you're from Pittsburgh, you do.
I mean, you really are like, this is his neighborhood. That's right, Mr. Effin' Rogers.
Beast mode, Mr. Rogers.
Remember that time he was in the military?
What?
But not really?
No.
There's a fake rumor that Mr. Rogers was actually in the military, which is totally fake.
Yeah, no, he definitely wasn't. But boy, did he rock those cardigans.
Yeah. So Seth Rogers, he's 6'3", but Akbar says he could pass for 14, Matt.
Yeah. I mean, anybody more than like 3 years younger than me, I'm like, is that person 12?
Yeah. He basically just stepped off of Walk the Plank, which we saw a lot of the taller athletes basically able to do. Walk the Plank seemed to be a lot easier for the taller athletes.
Is he our first male star pole vaulter?
I don't know. Probably not.
I mean,
it is weird. You know what? There weren't any male pole vaulters in my high school.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just thinking it might be a female dominated sport. I don't know because I've never actually met a pole vaulter.
There are only like three girls that did it, but none of them
were boys.
Were male girls.
Wow, that's so weird.
Yeah.
Okay, great observation by Taryn Armstrong.
You know, some people call me Sherlock Holmes because I'm so observant.
Yeah,
and this
clearly
is my neighborhood.
What? I don't think Sherlock Holmes's neighborhood is a thing.
That's what you think.
Maybe in London.
Exactly.
Okay.
He kind of slips out of nowhere on the spin hopper and down goes Big Red.
Does he qualify?
Yes.
Great.
Anybody that made it past, anyone that made it past the Walk the Plank.
Oh, okay.
Or no, sorry. Not just passing Walk the Plank, but if you made it to Spring Forward, you had a chance. If you made it there fast enough. Anyone that completed Spring Forward qualified.
Got it.
So then we get David Alvarez, 25 years old, personal trainer, looking for his sister, who was placed in foster care. I gotta say, I saw, like, they were like, coming up soon, this guy's looking for his sister. And I was like, oh my God, here we go.
That's just a cruel reaction.
Just with the, you know, the sob stories in the backgrounds. It was actually a pretty good one.
Yeah, it was also less upsetting than I thought it would be. I thought that it was going to be like his sister was kidnapped.
Yeah.
Or something.
Well, that would be very sad.
Yeah, it would be. And I'm also like nervous about how this is going to go, because if he can't get in touch with her, like, who knows if she's still alive, you know? Not to get super dark.
Well, I mean, she's just placed in foster care. It's not like...
Yeah, like many, many years ago. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I hope that nobody comes out of the woodwork claiming that it's her. If this guy gets mega famous off of American Ninja Warrior. You know, that thing that happens.
Well, it was actually, I thought it was a good package. And there weren't too many of these things throughout the episode. And I actually really enjoyed that. I felt like the packages seemed light enough that I was pretty okay with them.
Yeah. Was this the only big sob story we got? No. We got that girl. I don't know, has a dad or something.
Yes. And then, there were a couple more, but they were all pretty okay. Also, this is when I noted that they're really being liberal with the music in this episode.
What do you mean?
Lots of different songs playing in this episode. Like, there were like two or three different ones in like the opening 5 minutes alone.
Yeah.
And then they started playing like licensed music.
Yes,
for
I noticed
the packages.
Later, somebody got Firework by Katy Perry. I was like, has it been long enough that the song is cheap now?
And so they, and this was good music. They played music during his package. And then, you know, spoilers to just jumping ahead here. When he completes the course, they bring back the music.
What song is it?
I don't remember.
Oh.
But like they bring it back as he's celebrating, like, whoa.
They're like, we paid for the song, we're gonna use it
basically. But man, they paid for a lot of songs.
Yeah.
He had a one-handed save on Spring Forward, which is pretty great. It seemed like he was struggling on Spin Hopper, but he managed to find his groove, made his way through, and just by the tip of his fingertips grabs the top of the warped wall and completes the course. They bring back the music. He cries. And I wish Willissa, I believe was the name of the sister. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully if she wants to be found, she'll be found.
Yes, I hope so too. No, he's very talented. This is very nice. Unfortunately, I was distracted by how lame his Instagram handle is. It's the, like
Mr. Successful or something.
Mr. Successful, but the L is a one.
Yeah. He also had that tattooed on his chest, I believe.
He did?
Yeah, like Successful.
Oh, well, maybe he's just a big fan of the Ariana Grande song.
Maybe. Is that spelled with a one as well?
No, it's not.
Yeah. Then we have another montage starting with Kareem Rush, who's a basketball player. He dunked on the dismount of Walk the Plank. We had Emmy Rose, who is the first woman to get past Walk the Plank. She was a deputy sheriff who was taken down by the springboard. And then Noah Garfield, and we said aloha. It was aloha for him on the Spin Hopper.
Was he Hawaiian or something?
Yes.
But then wasn't there a different professional hula dancer?
Yes.
Wow. Island Ninja has sucked up all of the Hawaii time.
Next up was Flip Rodriguez, the 29-year-old stuntman. This is his 9th time competing. He's been in Vegas 7 times. No package. And we had to look a little sidebar of stats for him. This is where we get the 9 times competing, 7 times in Vegas. So that's what we got for Flip. They said he was a stuntman in Bumblebee, if you watched that movie. The newest Transformers movie.
Oh, okay.
I'm curious. I watched that movie. I don't know who he was the stuntman for.
Maybe probably it was the robots.
Love interest.
Wait, the main character is a girl?
Yes.
That's cool, I guess. I don't know. I don't know anything about Transformers.
It was actually, like, people were like, hey, this was actually kind of a good movie, considering
the source material.
Bad Transformers movies have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably the love interest. Seems a bit younger than Flip, but that's fine.
Yeah. Flip looks older now. I think it's the ponytail, which I hate very much.
They said he had this hair for a movie role.
Oh, okay. Well, now I hate it less because it's a professional obligation and not a personal choice.
So there you go. So this is when I was very confused about the timer for the course. If you watch at the end of Flip's run, there's a shot from behind and to the left of the warped wall. That's when they have the timers up there. The time in red was 2:03. Again, nobody completed the course in 2:03. So I don't know where that came from. And then time above that, which is currently running. And you can see this a few times throughout the episode. It's sometimes very close to what they show on the screen. In this case, it was a full 13 seconds behind what was shown on the screen. The screen had like 2:10 and the timer on in the actual course was like 1:57. I have no idea what any of this means, but there was a timer there.
Yeah, we may never know.
So he stumbles on the mega wall, has two more attempts, but he fails all three times, and he's going to fail the qualifying course.
Yeah, super surprising, but I mean, we have the knowledge that he easily could have finished the qualifying course.
Yes. Next up, we have another montage, starting with Derek Miyamoto, who couldn't handle spring forward. Thomas Coughran, who got bounced by spring forward. Anna Shoemaker, who did not get past walk the plank. And Jesse Orenshine, who also went out on walk the plank. It seems like a lot of women in particular had trouble with walk the plank. Again, I think this is kind of a height thing.
Yeah.
There, I feel like the taller people have a big advantage in that one.
Which was the Jewish guy?
It might have been Jesse.
Yeah, because Matt says mazel tough. And then when he falls, he said that was not kosher.
Yeah.
Which, if Matt wasn't Jewish, I would find slightly offensive.
Then we had another montage, starting with Milton Nkunku, something along those lines, who went out on the shrinking steps. Tyler Fiddler, who had a fired up grandma, who came up short on spring forward. And Tiana Weberly,
yeah,
who went out on walk the plank. Now, important to note here, they did not mention the women rule in this episode. And
right,
my initial thought was, oh, they're not doing the women rule anymore. Mm-hmm. Then I looked it up and I read on A&W Nation that they are still doing the women rule. And with that in mind, Tiana Weberly was in the top five women at number five.
Like, I don't necessarily have a huge problem with this rule. We've gone over it. I'm fine with it. Whatever. But when somebody who does that poorly qualifies, it just feels like, I don't know, it always feels a little patronizing.
In fact, both Anna Shoemaker and Tiana Weberly were 4 and 5 here.
Yeah, like, I can't be mad at seeing like more women on the show, but it's also like kind of condescending.
Yes.
So, because we know that women are perfectly capable of doing this.
Yeah. It certainly seems like that we will be seeing Tiana, Sweet Tea, and Anna in the city finals, but who knows? They both got montage.
Yeah.
Then we had Samantha Bush, 27-year-old occupational therapist. Her dad passed away when she was 14 and her mom picked up the slack. Showed her work ethic.
Yeah, apparently she made the city finals last year, and I have no idea who this is.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Wow.
But I guess she got double montage last year.
Through the women rule or, like, legitimately?
They did not say Samantha Bush qualified for city finals through the women rule last year.
I probably would have written her name down. I would have written her name down anyway. Hold on, let me see. Samantha Bush. Episode 2, LA Jurassic World qualifying.
Well,
Samantha Bush through the women rule. She was number 5.
Great. Congrats to Samantha Bush.
And Anna Shoemaker, number 4, twice in a row.
Wow.
Tiana Weberly was number 1 on the women last year.
Yes, I remember her doing well.
Yeah. So there you go. Let's see. Next up we need to talk about Samantha Bush. She was the first woman to make it through spring forward. Then she fell across the diamond dash, but managed to get through. Spent a lot of time on spin hopper. I was like, there's no way, she's going to make it through here.
Right.
She was going so slowly. And Akbar was, but she made it to the top. And then she's at the top of it. She has to now go across the bar to get to this, the going down part. And Akbar says, she's going to have to hop. She can't reach out. She's only 5'5". And then immediately when he finishes saying that, she reaches out.
Yeah, Akbar is also like, where did she get this grip strength from? It's like she just said she climbs every single day.
Yeah.
That's where.
Akbar was, like, I'm about to jump out this booth. He was very excited.
Yeah, he's lit.
But then she falls right at the end of Spin Hopper. It just, I think it just took too long. Like, it doesn't matter how good your grip strength is. Like, you can't keep holding on for that long.
Still super impressive, though.
Yes, very, very impressive. Definitely somebody to watch out for in the city finals. Then we have the Godfather, David Campbell, 41 years old, the oldest competitor of the night. At 41 yeah. years old, now listed as an audio engineer. So maybe we should hire David Campbell to edit our podcast.
Yeah, if only we had someone else to edit it. Oh, well, what was his job before?
I like various things. Like, I think, I don't know, once, wasn't he like a pizza delivery man at one point?
He's the Debbie Wanner of American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Great.
I can look up David Campbell.
I don't care enough about this. He absolutely crushes the fastest time.
Yes. He completes the course with the fastest time of the night. Very happy to see David Campbell back in action. He says he's going to dominate this year.
And I believe
he does well. He launches right up the spin hopper, very, very quick up that, and did have the fastest time so far at 1:35.
Great.
Another montage. It's a montage of Walk the Plankers. First was Christian Brown Johnson, who was too slow on it. Then Charles DeMano Jr., who dismounted too late. And then Victor Chan, who never dismounted and tried to like flip himself on the bar to try like jump from it or something, but did not work. Almost half the field was taken out by it, so says Zuri.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Brian Burke, the 20-year-old engineering student. Call him the Burkinator.
He has giant doors with his face on them.
Doors?
At his house. Did you see this? He's like sitting in this doorway of like what looks like a barn. And on each door, on his right and on his left, his face is on them.
I did not notice that.
Also, his mom is so cool. She looks like Morticia Adams. She dresses so weird.
So Brian Burke, he is autistic, and we're going to get some more music during his package.
Yes. Katy Perry track.
Yes. The inspiring music. I was like, geez, how much music did they get? How much money did they spend on this episode? He goes on the course. He jumps after every single obstacle, which was adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very excited after every single obstacle. He skips the final spin hopper, misses his first warped wall attempt, but makes it up on his second attempt. So he's going to complete the course and once again bring back the music in his celebration.
Yeah, he's adorable. I'm very happy for him.
Yeah. So they're now 2 for 2. When they play licensed music in the package, they bring it back during the celebration when they complete the course.
So this is how you read the edit?
I'm just saying, watch out for it.
Okay.
We'll see. Next up, another montage starting with Rebecca Bonilla, the third woman through Walk the Plank. It seems like a weird statistic to point out. Tripped up on the Diamond Dash. Shauna, ah!
Oh, see, I heard that. I have Shauna Na written down there, but I just have it written down as Shauna. I thought it was Shauna Na.
I mean,
What's the ruling?
I mean, obviously it's a half.
Oh my God.
Right?
I don't have time for this.
I think we're 2 Shauna Nas.
Yes.
2 Shauna Nas.
Bang, gavel.
Arnold Hernandez is next. He completes the course. He's the fourth one to complete the course. Then Corey McCoy, who's the chainsaw ninja, has a one-handed save on spring forward, but was out on the warped wall. Then we head to Cheyenne Arrington, 24-year-old student cliff diver. Her hometown Paradise was hit by the big LA fire I guess. Or maybe not LA Fire, California Fire. I don't know if it was the same one.
Is cliff diving a profession? Like, or is she like a cliff diving instructor?
She's a student who was also a cliff diver.
Oh.
I think.
Okay. Great.
She seemingly had it on Walk the Plank, but the grip just is not there and she slips right off the bar.
Yeah.
Next up was Adam Rail. We had an interview with his mom, who's always super nervous. I thought it was kind of adorable. Zuri ends up hanging out with his mom on the sidelines throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, and they mentioned earlier in like a coming up, they were like, Adam Rail is one of the favorites to win it all this year. I was like, that seems bold. I mean, he's really good. I wouldn't say he's one of the favorites to win it all.
They always hype him up, or they have been the last 2 years.
Maybe if it's if stage three is all wingnuts. And Adam Rail has got this.
Well, he wins ninja like competitions all over the place. Like I think he has the promise. I think the problem is he's not always like 100%.
Yeah.
He has like little mistakes that he makes sometimes. And we see that here on the course. He's speeding through easily on course for the fastest time of the night, skipping through the spin hopper. And then just like that, he's out. Not careful enough on the spin hopper.
Yeah, thank God he qualified, because I don't know what his mom would have done. She is a mess.
Yeah, he seemed very upset. And I think my guess here is that he was like, oh, I just lost $10,000.
Yeah.
I would have had $10,000.
That's all true. That's a lot of money to lose.
It is. It's a lot, like, just like the out of nowhere to just be like, oh, here we go. One more spin hopper and I've got $10,000. Oh, mother.
Yeah.
But he has made it to city finals.
But you know what Adam Rail got today, which is priceless? Me following him on Instagram.
Oh my.
Because I was finishing up the skills competition this morning and Adam Rail was not wearing a shirt. And I thought that there might be more of that on his Instagram. And I was correct.
There you go.
So that's truly worth more than $10,000. Adam, call me.
Yes. We have another montage starting with Verdale Benson, who had a bronze star in Afghanistan, or received one for his time in Afghanistan. And he battled his way to the fourth obstacle before failing. Then Jonah Bonner, who was a gondolier in California with a boatload of supporters. He completed the course.
I'm happy for the gondolier.
I'm glad.
I think that's a cool job.
And then Danelle Leyva, who is an Olympic gymnast, very decorated, apparently, completed the course.
Great.
Then we have Hunter Gerard, the 30-year-old ninja coach, who has come to run with Kyle Soderman. Apparently, they're best friends. Who knew?
Yeah. The lizard looks different.
I noticed that immediately. I was like, has he lost weight?
Or something in him, like, cut his hair, maybe?
I think he also cut his hair, but I think he also lost weight. They noted he is only 130 pounds.
Jeez.
So I think he lost
weight. Speed. Yeah.
But very seeming to do well for him here, because the lighter you are, the easier it can be to traverse some of these obstacles. And so he is going to speed through the course. And although he misses his first warped wall attempt, he is going to beat David Campbell's time by 1 second.
Yeah. Through the power of friendship.
Yes. So now you got Kyle Soderman, who's been, I think this is his debut on American Ninja Warrior proper, right?
Probably. I know him, but it could be from team.
He was on Team Ninja with Hunter. And he was on Beastmaster.
Oh, I must have missed that episode along with every other episode.
That's why Akbar says he's had a lot of experience on obstacles.
We can't tell you what they are legally.
Yeah.
But just trust us. He's also a professional velociraptor, which is one of those things that, like, little kids sometimes are like, you know, because kids are stupid. They're like, when I grow up, I want to be a dinosaur.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I guess you can.
You dream big.
Yeah. But you have to be able to walk on stilts, question mark?
Yeah, that seems unnecessary.
Just be a smaller dinosaur.
Are velociraptors really that tall?
I don't think so.
Jurassic I don't know. Park tells
I,
me no.
I don't know anything about dinosaurs, so please don't tweet me. I don't care about this.
He decides not to go for the fastest time and instead goes for the mega wall. Although he could have, if he made it up on his first attempt, still gotten the fastest time, but he did not. He is going to fail all three attempts, so he is not going to complete the course.
He just didn't want to go against his best friend for the fast pass.
Yes. We got another montage starting with Michaela Fong, who is a competitive hula dancer. She was a fan in the stands 3 years ago, but she was out on the first obstacle here.
See, that could be you.
Yeah. Then Davion Hancox, who almost flatlined on the spin hopper, but completed the course.
Whoa, is she like a nurse or something?
I believe he is like an EMT or something.
That's what happens when I don't write down names.
And then Brian Kretsch, who barely made it through the Diamond Dash, but does complete the course.
Never gets the respect he deserves.
Yes. Then we got a montage about how a lot of people wear shirts. Talking about their names, their ninja nicknames. Yeah. Big Dog Ninja, all of these different things. And so Scott Wilson, who used to be the chess ninja because he's a chess instructor.
And if you'll recall, I used to have a crush on him, but he is now less cute. And I regret to report that, but I must.
Interesting. What's changed?
I don't know. He just looks different than how I remember. I think he has longer hair or something, but not in a good way.
He's aged a year.
Yeah, or something.
He's now
29.
He's out of your age range.
I recall having a crush on him, but then I didn't anymore when I saw him this time. So,
well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, he's got some different things going on in his life. So he is now has on his shirt. His new nickname is the chess teaching, gym owning, parkour ninja educating guy who also jumps out of planes now and might eventually teach that tube or not. Who knows? Ninja.
Yeah, and this is the best shirt that we've seen so far.
Yes. Akbar says, his name is longer than my name. And then he says his full name.
Yeah, we get a rare glimpse of Akbar's middle name.
Yeah, which I did not write down.
It. Yeah, no.
Spring forward, I noticed here as he's going through it, sounds really loud, like when it springs. I was wondering, like, I'd be annoyed if I were in the crowd. Ugh, stop.
Probably not as annoying as the bursts of fire at the finale. Yeah. Nothing is as annoying as those.
At least those are cool, though.
I mean, cool in that they will scare the crap out of me every single time.
He goes for the mega wall. He's never hit a buzzer before. He's like a 5-time vet, never hit a buzzer before. But goes for the mega wall anyway, and he makes it up, which freaks Akbar out. what? And he's like, you're a rich ninja now.
Yeah.
Because he made 10K.
Yeah. Well, he seems to have a lot of jobs. Maybe he's already rich.
There you go. We then get a walk-on line montage where they say they changed the walk-on line system to now it's a lottery.
That's stupid. So, you should get rewarded for being there longer.
I guess so. So I guess what happens now is that you enter your name in the lottery or something along those lines and you don't have to wait.
That's dumb. The whole thing of the walk online is you got to really want it.
I guess so.
And really. It fosters community.
Yes, that's true. It's true. So we get a montage of walk online people. Greg Schwartz, Angie Olsen, they both failed. But Steven Barbarito and Austin Seibert both made it to city finals.
Great. Is this before or after the really weird Godzilla sponsored content?
I probably skipped it.
You thought it was a commercial.
I guess so.
All right.
What was it?
I don't know. They talked about like Godzilla is like the biggest ninja of them all or something. You know, if you think about it.
Sure. He's big.
And Japanese.
Yeah.
So there you go.
There you go. We did have Kevin Bull, the 34-year-old 6-time competitor, 5 times in Vegas. He was originally a walk-on.
Yeah. And he gets really close to that fast forward.
Yes, very fast up the spin hopper, just 2 seconds behind David Campbell and Hunter Girard, but did not go for the mega wall, so missed out on all of it.
Yeah, but, you know, still gets the third fastest time.
It's true. So that's it for the regular runs. It's time for the power tower. It's going to be David Campbell versus Hunter Girard. And as they go through this, I was like, it really seems like they're begging for someone to get injured here. 40 feet above the ground and like these like pipes everywhere. I'm just imagining somebody falling and then like mangling their leg in one of the like pipes on their way down to the ground.
I feel like I really wouldn't be mad at this if the power tower was just a rope climb. It doesn't really matter to me.
I mean, I do think it's more exciting to see different things, and it was interesting to be able to watch
spider
them.
Climb.
Well, I think having different aspects of it allowed it to be more exciting because it was very close. Because you know, Hunter took the lead, then David caught up, and then David took the lead, and then Hunter managed to just barely edge him out at the end. And I think that having different parts to the whole tower allows that to happen. Whereas typically what you'll see in a single obstacle thing is that once one person takes the lead, they're probably going to maintain that lead, except for the massive spider climb that we saw in the skills challenge, in which case, you know, we saw that not be the case.
That's
but I thought it was fun. This was good. And I'm willing to bet that they had this episode be the first one because this was the most exciting power tower of the season.
Oh, I hope not.
I feel like they do that sometimes where it's like, this was a really good one because it was super close. It was just like 1 second apart. And so other ones are going to be a little more spaced out.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean the whole episode is necessarily the most entertaining one.
No.
Because we didn't have very many like big stars on this one. I mean, we had Kevin Bull and Adam Rayl, and that was pretty much it.
They're definitely saving some of the big guns for later.
Yeah.
So there you go. That was our first episode. I enjoyed it. I felt like there were fewer sob story packages. I felt like the packages in general were maybe a little bit cut down, maybe in order to make time for the Power Tower, which I am totally fine with. I like the new strategic elements of the qualifying rounds. There's a lot to like here.
Yeah, I don't mind the sob stories ever, but I do like more action than package. Yes. So this are good for that.
I agree. So our leaderboard here is Hunter Gerard, David Campbell, Kevin Bull, Danelle Leyva, Davion Hancox, Scott Wilson, who went up the mega wall, David Alvarez, Arnold Hernandez, Brian Burke, Brian Kretsch, Jonah Bonner, Kyle Soderman, who failed at the mega wall, Flip Rodriguez, who failed at the mega wall, Rubel Arellano, who failed at the regular warped wall, Hunter Swan, who failed at the mega wall, Corey McCoy, failed at the regular warp wall, Adam Rayl, who failed at the spin hopper, and then all the rest of these failed at the spin hopper, Seth Rogers, Ben Udy, Wesley Silvestri, Noah Garfield, Austin Seibert, Samantha Bush, and then Kevin Fish, who failed at the Diamond Dash, as well as Rebecca Bonilla, Verdale Benson, and then Lee Cates, who failed on the spring forward, along with Thomas Coffrin, Anthony Trucks, and Stephen Barbarito. So that was two women qualified in the top 30, Samantha Bush and Rebecca Bonilla. And then the three additional women in the top five women were Emmy Rose, who failed at spring forward, Anna Shoemaker, and Tiana Weberly. Both failed at walk the plank.
Go ladies through your weird rule.
Yes. So there you go. I thought it was good. I'm looking forward to seeing more of this stuff. I'm especially looking forward to the city finals where we'll get to see the safety pass stuff in action as well. But I think there's a lot to look forward to this season.
Yeah. Where are we going next week?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about it then wherever it is. I'm going to Scotland next week, but it shouldn't mess up our recording schedule.
It shouldn't.
Well, I mean, we'll see. I don't know if Brexit really messes with my flight. If they Brexit while I'm there.
I'm pretty sure Brexit means that your internet is like 5 days behind.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I'll be recording from Scotland. I'm saying I think I'll be back in time.
Oh, wow.
To record on a normal
it's
day.
It's a fast trip.
No, I'm wrong. Whatever. We'll figure it out. It doesn't matter.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for joining us. I hope you enjoyed the first wrap up of the season. There's a lot to pack into this one, so you know, hopefully you enjoyed it, but I'm sure we'll be more off the rails in future episodes.
Oh, that's true. We didn't really go on very many tangents. It's also that I have to be at work soon.
Yes, so and there was a lot to talk about. Yeah. There were a few times where I was like, I could take this somewhere.
It's just, we don't need this recap to be an hour long. I mean, 2 hours long. We want it to be an hour long. Yes. If you're new to the podcast, hi.
Yes. Welcome.
Thank you for joining us. You may be here because Taryn has recently rocketed into a high profile sphere in the reality TV world.
Sure.
You've gotten so many more Twitter followers since our last season.
Really?
Oh my God, I hate you. Yeah, whatever. Taryn is kind of famous, but he doesn't care. I am less famous and will happily take all of your Twitter followers since you don't care about them. Yeah, this podcast is fun.
Was I on Instagram the last time we spoke?
I believe so. Yeah.
Really? Have I been on Instagram that long?
Yeah, you have. Because I think that I yelled at you on air for giving Caitlin Herman credit for being your Instagram crew, even though I was really in on the ground floor of this.
Yeah. Are you sure that wasn't a Big Brother podcast?
It might have been. I don't know.
Well,
you
I
said
am on
last
Instagram.
Time we spoke.
Taryn underscore Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
There are actually pictures there too.
Yeah, there are. And yeah. You're also on Twitter, I hear.
Yep. Armstrong Taryn.
What else is going on with you? You want to plug?
That's basically it.
All right.
Just hanging out. Twitch. I'm on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Big Brother's going to be starting up just a couple weeks.
Yeah. Well, you can find me on Instagram at Lita Grammed and on Twitter at Lita Tweeted. And also, I now have a blog like every other person that I don't think anybody reads, but it is in order to hold me accountable for writing something new every week. So it's called Drop Dead Culture, and you can find it at LitaWrote.wordpress.com.
Who died?
What?
Drop dead.
My God. Goodbye. It was originally supposed to be about culture, reality, TV being part of that. It has more turned into just personal essays. Some of it's about TV.
Still didn't explain the drop dead part.
It's like the phrase drop dead gorgeous.
Okay.
Have you heard that?
Where like you're so gorgeous it kills people.
There's a phrase called drop dead gorgeous. This is drop dead culture.
So is it so culture-y it kills people?
It's like the tagline is modest notes on our gorgeous reality. It's like culture is beautiful. It's
okay.
So drop dead culture. It's beautiful and gorgeous.
Calling culture gorgeous.
Yes.
All right. I see.
And you know, it's life through the lens of a beautiful person like me.
Drop dead Lita.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's what a lot of people tell me on Twitter.
That's the hashtag for this episode.
No. No, I'm going to report you to the CIA. That's a death threat.
No, it's calling you beautiful.
Oh, my God. Bye. I don't want a bunch of tweets that say drop dead.
Yeah, that seems like it's asking for trouble.
Yeah. Rate and review us on iTunes.
Yeah.
Also.
It's great.
We'd like reading those.
Yes. Lita will read them.
I will. I don't have any prepared for today. It's been a while. So I forgot to check them, but, I will read them if you write a new one.
There you go. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We will be back, of course, next week to talk about the next episode of the show, and, we'll have some fun. So come hang out.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for joining us. We will see you next time.
Good morning, everyone. I've got a question to ask.
Do you want to be a ninja?
Taryn and Lita will tell you how.
They can't do it themselves because